Our second reading today comes from the book of Romans, chapter 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The word black box usually conjures up the image of an airplane recording device, which is appropriate, but it's also a more general term. A black box is something that something goes into. And something happens in there, we're not really sure what it is, and it comes out as something different altogether. Now, sure, someone understands what happens. It's not magic, but there's a gap of understanding for most of us. There's a podcast called Radio Lab, and they did a show on black boxes. They featured a story about how caterpillars become butterflies, and I found it pretty intriguing. I think it relates to this passage, to a day when we celebrate our graduates, and to our life as a church. That caterpillars turn into butterflies is pretty common knowledge. It's a fun thing to teach children about, but do you know what actually happens in the black box? Do you know what happens in the chrysalis? This really isn't something I had ever thought much about, but I guess if I was pushed on it, I would say, well, the caterpillar eats a lot, it starts to get tired, it spins a cocoon, goes to sleep in this cocoon chrysalis thing, and while it's hibernating, its fur falls off and it grows wings. That's kind of what I guess happened. Anybody else kind of picture it like that? Okay, that is not at all what happens. It's entirely wrong. So, chrysalis is the black box. Something goes in, something happens, something different comes out. What happens is that the caterpillar pretty much melts into this pale white yellow goo. It's kind of a soup of cells. And from that soup of cells, the butterfly begins to take form. There are scientists who study this in great detail. One thing they've learned is that the cells that comprised the caterpillar, those same cells comprise the butterfly. And so, while some physical characteristics like the fuzz dissipate, other cells carry through. Even non-cellular things like a caterpillar's memory continues. Really. There was an experiment. And it sounds kind of awful, really. But what they did is they would expose these caterpillars to this horrible, vile smell. And every time they exposed them to it, they would zap them. And they began to associate the awful smell with the zap. Take the same caterpillars, let them become butterflies. They exposed them to the same awful smell, and the butterflies began to expect the zap. So that memory carried through, even through that pool of goo and cells. Believe it or not, this is not even the most interesting thing that I learned. The most interesting and probably the coolest thing that I learned about the process is that if you were to peel back the skin of a caterpillar, which you should not do, unless you are with a lepidopterist, which is someone who studies butterflies, I learned. It's really a delicate process. You shouldn't do it. But if you happen to be with a lepidopterist and they were to peel back the skin of the caterpillar for you, you would see something amazing. Under that skin, you would see the new creature hidden under there. Under the caterpillar skin are some of the structures of the future butterfly. You can see the start of the wings, the antenna, and the legs. The butterfly is already right there inside of the caterpillar. Even though it's going to turn into a pile of goo, it's already there and it's ready to become that butterfly. Now hold on to all of that interesting science information while we jump into Paul's letter to the Romans, okay? So the passage from Paul to the Romans, Romans chapter 12 that I read, it sounds a little bit like a graduation speech. It's full of all of these, you need to do this, and we hope this for you, and you can do this. It's a lot of advice, it's a lot of encouragement. And Paul is encouraging the church. He is writing with encouragement to the church in Rome because it's filled with tension. He's writing to say to them, this is who you are, you know who you are, you know how to be Christians. Now, unlike a lot of the other churches that Paul wrote to, he didn't actually found the church in Rome. But he was in great communication with them. We're not entirely sure who founded that church. It was likely a Jewish Christian who had been present at Pentecost there in Jerusalem. Whoever founded it, though, the source of the tension was clear. You had the Christians who had been Jews originally, and then they became Christians, and then you had the Christians who had been Gentiles and became Christians. And those two groups were having a lot of trouble getting along together. And this is the tension that Paul wrote into. He's writing to this whole church, not just to an individual. Sometimes we hear this passage and it sounds like it's advice for an individual, but for those early Christians, there was really no concept of individual faith aside from the community. So it's a letter about how we treat each other in community. There's a Lutheran pastor, I was reading some of her work. Her name is Mary Hinkle Shore, and she notes that Paul gives instructions kind of looking at four circles that get bigger and bigger. And he starts with giving advice about those closest to you, those you're really in close kinship with within the community. If it's a small house church, it might have been everyone, but here, it might be your Sunday school class, or if you're in the youth group, it might be that, or if you're in the choir, that might be who you have the closest kinship with. And then he gets a little bigger and says, oh, but you also need to show love to the whole communion of the saints, so really all those Christians in your church, in the community. And by the way, go ahead and show love to even the stranger, because what we hear Jesus say in the Gospels is, I am in the stranger. When did we see you, Lord? Well, when you served the poor, that was me. And so we are serving Jesus in that next big circle as well as the broader community of the church. That third circle that Paul draws is where it starts to get really tough, if it wasn't hard enough already. Because here is when he says we are to bless those who persecute us. He's calling on us to bless our enemies, which sounds like that would be the hardest. But then the fourth circle, he just sort of sums it all up and says, well, live peaceably with everybody. And we hear almost kind of a good luck. It's really quite a list. But like I said, Paul was writing to the church in Rome to tell them who they were and to remind them of things that they already knew. This list, it's part of who they were. It's part of who we are. It's a list of ideals of what it means to be a Christian. And none of us fully attain it, but we're already capable of it. Like the caterpillar, who under its skin already had the shape of butterfly wings and legs, this is already in us. We are made in God's image and we bear the fingerprints of the Creator. We can be the Christians Paul writes about here because we already are those Christians. Now, before you think I've forgotten my Presbyterian roots, let me make it clear that this is not all we are. As I always point out, we are sinful and totally depraved people in need of God's grace, but we are also made in God's image, and we are redeemed by Jesus, and in and through the Spirit, we can respond to God with lives that look like what Paul writes about. Our triune God works on us and through us like the mystery of a black box. Unlike the caterpillar and butterfly, we may not see dramatic transformation. We might. We do often see it in community. It's often hardest to see it in ourselves. There might be times when we feel like We are in a permanent state of goo, but the imprint of the Creator is always part of us. The reporter who did this story, this podcast, she made the observation that when thinking about this kind of transformation, we shouldn't just say, ah, these butterfly wings that are under the skin of the Creator, this is what carries me into the future. Instead, we should say, this is what part of my future self is already part of me. This future that God hopes for me is already part of me. So whether today you're thinking about a high school graduation or you're navigating retirement, this is really good news. Your future self is in you right now. You can already hate what is evil and hold fast to what is good. You can be patient in suffering and persevere in prayer. You can extend hospitality to the stranger. You can even bless those who persecute you. You can do all of this because it is already in you to do so. And so can this church. We bear the imprint of our triune God. When God made you, when God blessed the creation of this church, all of these gifts were already present. Now it is just a matter of letting God transform us, trusting that even when we are goo, we are still God's. Amen.